Amen. If we'd open our Bibles this evening to Romans chapter 8, and we'll read from verse 16. The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. Let's just bow our heads in prayer. The gracious Father, we recognize, Lord, your word as the absolute in our life, for it is thus saith the Lord. And Father, we have read a scripture this evening that says, your Spirit will bear witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. Father, we pray that you would help us in the understanding of this, and we ask that you would bless the words, bless the ministry tonight, Lord, of your word and the song service as it has gone forth, and Father, the communion service, we just pray that your blessing would be upon it, that you would anoint us all, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. I guess before I forget, tomorrow we'll have a potluck, and we actually have a privilege this year because we have someone preparing the meal tomorrow, or the pork tomorrow. It'll be the Warren County pork champion, so I won't say who it is. You'll have to find out for yourself. But anyway, this person will be preparing the meats for tomorrow, and so it should be good. It was good enough to win first place. Anyway, also, this person won the breads, and so there'll be homemade breads as well going with that pork. So we should have a little feast tomorrow, a little gastronomical jubilee along with it. So anyway, so if you'd like to bring a covered dish, that's fine. Don't bring a whole lot. We found in the past few times we've had it that everybody brings home plenty afterwards, so just bring something that'd be a nice surprise, but not too much. Don't go to any hard work. You know, it's not meant to be that way. It's just meant to be a relaxing time where we fellowship and just enjoy each other's company. So, okay, now tonight we'll continue with these thoughts that we began last Sunday, and we're going to subtitle this, The Spirit Beareth Witness. And we'll notice from Romans 8 and verse 16, he says, the Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And as we mentioned last week, you know, how in vain people have taken the Scripture over the years, not understanding what the Scripture is saying and basically twisting it around and saying that their spirit bears witness that they're children of God. Well, it has nothing to do with your spirit bearing witness. It has to do with God's bearing witness with you. And so we want to look at a few scriptures this evening to find out what it means for God to bear witness with our spirit, because it says, the Spirit, which there's only one, the Spirit, and that's God's Spirit, the Spirit beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. So let's, before we begin, I can erase this. And I'd like to ask a question. And maybe we'll write down some definitions here. And we won't keep you very long tonight. Just be more of a preamble for into tomorrow's service. But all right, what does it mean to bear witness? What do you think of when you see the word witness? First of all, we'll take the word witness. Well, let's back up a little bit. Let's go all the way back to the very beginning. What is the very first thing that has to happen if a person is going to be a witness? Okay, they have to see. Okay, they must have seen, or what's another word to use? Yeah. Huh? Yeah. Okay, hear, or how about if you're deaf, you can't hear, or if you're blind, you can't see, you can't hear, but you're still there. So,
feel.
Oh, feel? Well, okay, that's possible. And there's different ways of feeling. There's, you know, with the outer senses, and there's kind of an inner, like people say, well, I felt it, you know. Okay, what else? Okay, yeah, having been present. It has to do with the presence. A presence having seen, a presence hearing, or a presence feeling. In other words, you are participating. All right, so there's actually either a direct or indirect participation involved. And we'll just put it this way, indirect or direct. Because you can be directly involved with somebody in something and turn out to be a witness against them, such as an undercover person or whatever. You can also indirectly be a witness by hearing, seeing, feeling, whatever. In other words, you weren't directly involved with that thing, item, whatever, but you know because of these. So what do these do? It allows you to know. Right? So we're dealing then with a witness as someone who was there, or they participated some way in seeing, hearing the actions or whatever, and they know. Now, let's go to, because this scripture says, it says, the Spirit, which is God's Spirit, bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. So let's go over to Psalms, the book of Psalm, and let's go to the first Psalm, and we'll read. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners. Now, in the way of sinners, that means in the lifestyle of sinners. Not that you've gotten their way, like when you're walking down the road, or maybe you're driving down the road and you got in their way. No, that's not what it means. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of the sinners. Nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, the word of the Lord, and in his law, in his word, doth he meditate day and night. So we're talking about a peculiar person here. This person doesn't hang around with the wrong group. This person hangs around with the right group, and his thoughts, he meditates upon the word of the Lord. Notice, but his delight is in the word of the Lord, and in his word does he meditate day and night. And he should be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf shall also not wither, and whatsoever he does will prosper. The ungodly are not so. They're a different group altogether. But they are like the chaff which the wind driveth away. In other words, it's got to be dried out first, then it's driven away. Therefore, the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. Notice now, there's two things here. The Lord knoweth the way of the righteous. The word knoweth is a Hebrew word yada, Y-A-D-A. And it actually means the Lord not only acknowledges, but the Lord watches over with an active participation. So we're talking about, as a witness, there is an active participation. Now, there's not always an active participation. There could be a passive participation. All right? But to be a witness, there has to be an active or a passive participation in which you hear, see, feel, your presence is there, you observe, and because of that, you know. Now, you couldn't have a witness who was just a pure and simple idiot. Wouldn't be a very good witness. Well, let's have Mr. Idiot come up and testify. Well, what's he going to say? Babble, babble, babble. Blah, 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 blah. It doesn't work. So, now, the second part then of witness here is testimony or testify. All right. So, what we're looking at then is there's a twofold thing that takes place with witness. Number one, they have to participate. There has to be either an active or passive participation. And there has to be an ability to testify. Now, how do you testify? Is it always verbally? Anybody ever been depositioned for anything? Was the deposition always a verbal, or was there sometimes where the deposition might have been taking place in another state, you had to give a written testimony? All right? So, the testimony then can be in written form, spoken form, spoken word, etc. All right? Sometimes testimony can be actions, your actions, or an action. In other words, if I enter into an agreement
with you verbally. We have an agreement. And you offer to sell me something for, say, $1. And I agreed that I will buy that thing for $1. By my giving you that $1, that is a testimony of our contract. Right? So it's an action. And the action then nails down the fact that the contract was there. Now, if you had to go to court, and in court you said, "Oh, I never did have a contract with him." They said, "Well, didn't he give you $1, for this thing?" "Well, yeah, he did." "Did you give it to him?" "Yeah, I did." "Okay, that's your contract." He says verbally that you had a verbal agreement. His actions prove it. Your accepting it proves it. Therefore, no contest. There was a written agreement, or there was a verbal agreement. Right? So, we then have a witness. Now notice he says, "The Spirit itself beareth witness." Okay? Notice, beareth witness with our spirit. So, His Spirit is bearing witness with your spirit that we are the children of God. So, number one, He is participating actively. In an active participation, the Spirit is in an active participation, and there has got to be something to bring out the bearing witness part of it. And that is either a written or a spoken word or a written word or an action that follows. Brother Branham said, "How do you know if it's God's will?" He said, "It's revealed to you in the Word, it's quickened in your spirit, and you watch it come to pass." He said, "Those three things you know that it's God's will." See? Now, okay? Now we must ask ourselves then, what is this witness or this testimony of the Spirit? And the real question should be, what is the testimony of God's Spirit? And how does He bear witness with our spirit? How does God bear witness? Okay, we have one of three ways. Spoken word, written word, or in action. In other words, a vindication. Okay? Now, so then we say, how does God bear witness with our spirit that we are the children of God? Well, let's turn to John chapter 5 and see how God bear witness with His only begotten Son. And let's begin reading at verse 30. "I can of mine own self do nothing." Wow. What a testimony. Did he say he was incompetent? No. He said, "I can of mine own self do nothing." He's honest. Like Brother Vail said, "I've got a little hangnail. I'll challenge any of you. Come up and heal it." You can't do it. And yet Brother Branham could go and say, "Thus saith the Lord, bring 25 of your worst cases, and I guarantee healing." Now, how could Brother Branham guarantee anything except the guarantor told him to say it? That's why when Brother Branham said, "Thus saith the Lord, Trinitarianism is of the devil." Now, we have all these Trinitarian people on the websites. If you type in William Branham, you realize that over 90%, in fact, if you typed in Branham Doctrine, you'll find 90%, 9 out of every, on every page, will be against William Branham and his doctrine. You'll only find one, basically, on each page. Sometimes you find one or two, such as in, Message Doctrine, or Prison Ministries, or Message Doctrine 2. That's about it. You might find, maybe once in a while, another one, like the one in Australia, that'll say something about it. But most of the time, there's something like 651 different times that Branham Doctrine will come up. And you might find, you won't find 65 that are positive. You won't find 10%. You'll find maybe 1 out of 100 that are positive. Everything else is negative. And yet, who's right? Who's right? You're going to believe vindication, or you're going to believe a bunch of men? You see? And this is what we're talking about. See, if it was a fact, in Romans, if it said, and our witness, our spirit bears witness with his spirit, well, isn't that what the world teaches? In the mouth of many witnesses, let all things be established. What about when many witnesses comes against the witness, the only one true witness? Well, let's read what Jesus said, because look, how many of you would like to have William Branham say some nice things about you and bear witness of you? Wouldn't that be nice? If William Branham said some nice things about you, I think it would be nice. But you know what? Jesus said, you know, though John bear witness of me, it's a witness of men. He said, but there's a greater that bears witness of me. And let's read it, okay? John chapter 5 and verse 30. If I can bear, I can of my own self do nothing. As I hear, I judge. And my judgment is just because I seek not mine own will, but the will of the Father which has sent me. And by the way, that's a very, very startling thing. In fact, I believe that when the bride is ready for a rapture, she's going to be in that place where she says, I don't have a will. In fact, I was listening to a tape this morning as I woke up. The tape was playing. And I heard Brother Branham say those words. And it was in the Revelation of Jesus Christ series. He said something to the fact, when you're there, you will be to the place where Jesus was, where you say that I have no will. Something to the, in that order. I've got to go back and re-listen or re-read it, because it was astounding to me, because it's exactly what we've been preaching. Now, all right, so Jesus says, I seek not mine own will, but the will of the Father which has sent me. Then he goes on and says, if I bear witness of myself, my witness is not true. Now, Jesus could bear witness of himself. He said, don't even believe me. If I bear witness of myself, my witness is not true. There is another that bears witness of me, and I know that the witness which he witnesses of me is true. Immediately people think, oh, that's John the Baptist. Because you can hold your finger there and go back to John chapter 1, verse 7. And we read, there was a man sent from God whose name was John. We could put it in 20th century prophet terms and say, there was a man sent from God whose name was William Branham. The same came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. He was not that light, but he was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. He came unto his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. Now the word power there is a Greek word which means the ability to make a right decision. So in other words, the Bible says there is a way which seems right to man, but the way thereof is the way of death. Man will always choose the way that's of death. But here, in this case, he says those that are born again, God gives them a special power. And that power is that they can now begin to make a right decision. Why? Because they now have a right mind. He said, if we be any otherwise minded, God will reveal it to us. So we go back then to John chapter 5. If I bear witness of myself, my witness is not true. There is another that bears witness of me, and he's not speaking of John. And I know that the witness which he witnesses of me is true. You sent unto John, and he bear witness unto the truth. Well, it sounds like he's saying that John's is the witness. But, he says, but I received not testimony from man. But these things I say that you might be saved. He was a burning and a shining light, and you were willing for a season to rejoice in his light. But I have greater witness than that of John. For the works which the Father hath given me to finish, the same works that I do, bear witness of me that the Father hath sent me. And the Father himself, which hath sent me, hath borne witness of me. Ye have neither heard his voice at any time, nor seen his shape. And ye have not his word abiding in you, for whom he hath sent, him you believe not. Search the scriptures, for in them you think that you have eternal life, and they are they which testify, which witness of me. And you will not come to me that you might have life. So, now we have the evidence then of what is it when he says the Spirit, the Spirit, beareth witness with our spirit. We're talking about God, through His Word, bearing witness and following up that witness with an action. In other words, we have the witness must see, must hear, must perceive. There's got to be a presence involved, there's got to be a knowledge, and then a follow-up. So, we have the Spirit acknowledging what He's seen with a follow-up. Are you getting me? All right. Now, let's go to John, 1 John chapter 5. I love the way the book of John is written, because in all the Gospels and his epistles, what's in the fifth chapter is in the fifth chapter of others. Seems to be the way that he wrote. Now, we turn to 1 John and reading from chapter 5 and picking up at verse 9. And we'll read. If we receive the witness of men, well, the witness of God is greater. For this is the witness of God, which he hath testified of his Son. Now, remember, we asked a question. We asked, how is it that God bears witness with our spirit? What does he do? How does he do it? John tells us here. He says, the witness of God is greater than the witness of men. For this is the witness of God, which he hath testified of his Son. He that believeth on the Son of God hath the witness in himself. So there's got to be an identification. He has the witness in himself. He that believeth not God hath made him a liar, because he believed not the record that God hath given of his Son. And this is the record that God hath given to us eternal life. And this life is in his Son. He that hath the Son hath life. And he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. These things have I written unto you, that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life, and that ye may believe on the name of the Son of God. And if we know that he hears us, and this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have the petition that we have desired of him. Now, so, he's saying now, here it is. This witness, the Spirit, will bear witness with our spirit. John says we have the witness in us. So that when we would ask anything, there would have to be some acknowledgement of our asking. And we have confidence because we know God will give us an answer, yes or no. Like Brother Branham said, God always answers. Sometimes it's just not what you want. See? But the fact is then that there's got to be an acknowledgement. So we're talking about the testimony. There's got to be an acknowledgement. Either bringing to pass, or the word to say no, the word to say yes, the spoken word, written word, as an identification. In other words, you asked, and the Holy Spirit in you quickens the Scripture to you. And as the Scripture is quickened to you, you know it's God's will. That builds confidence. Okay, now. Secondly, how is the joint testimony of God's Spirit and our own clearly and solidly distinguished from the presumption of a natural mind and from the delusion of the devil? How do you know it's God? Well, it's in the Word. Well, the devil comes with the Word. How do you know? Well, God will bring it to pass. He'll quicken it in your spirit, reveal it in His Word, and He'll bring it to pass. Now, let us first consider this. What is the witness or the testimony of our own spirit? Well, the problem we have is, are we dealing with the testimony of your own spirit, or are we dealing with the testimony of your own will? We get so swallowed up in our own will that we really don't know, and our spirit really does not have a true testimony. Now, you can't count on your own spirit to have a true testimony. I'll ask the question. How many of you ever had real ugly thoughts and real good thoughts at the same time? Yet the Scripture says, A good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit. How can you drink good water and bad water out of the same vessel? So then you have to ask yourself, well, those evil thoughts that come to me, are they mine? Well, if you're not a very mature Christian, you'll say yes. If you're a mature Christian, you'll say no. Those are of the devil, and I do not accept them. You see, if you say, well, I guess I've got those evil thoughts coming, I guess that's a witness of my spirit, is it? Or is it just the devil witnessing to your spirit? You see, Brother Brown says the greatest battle that's ever fought is in your mind. He said there's only God's thoughts and there's the devil's thoughts. And sometimes those thoughts are coming both from God and from the devil at the same time. That's why you have conflicting thoughts. Therefore, if you're looking at the thoughts, thinking the thoughts are yours, then how could you have a testimony in your spirit? You can't. You can't. Therefore, throw it out. Therefore, the Spirit testifies of our spirit. How? By bringing confirmation. By bringing confirmation that you are His son or His daughter. Now what you've got to do is not be looking for a testimony of your spirit, but looking for a testimony of His spirit. Because if you have a testimony, remember John said, the witness is in you. So if the witness is in you, then you're not looking for a testimony of your spirit, you're looking for a testimony of His spirit in you. Now, does that make sense to you? Do you understand? In other words, we're getting back to the will. Is it really my will that I'm looking for, or is it His will? What makes me happier? To know that I'm walking in my will, which could be very wrong, or that I'm walking in His will, which is always very right, even though the circumstances may seem wrong. In other words, he says, well, it's no big deal if the world hates you because it also hated His Son. Don't expect to be a true Christian walking in the light and have the world love you. They're not going to love you. They will hate you. Without a cause, they'll hate you. You see? So don't look at the testimony of your own spirit. Unless you understand, or you come to the place where Brother Branham did, where he said, all my thoughts are of God. Because if all our thoughts are of God, then it's no longer your spirit anyway, it's His spirit. And let's go one step further. When you're born again, you receive another spirit. Is that right? Who begins to take over? The old spirit or the new spirit? The old man or the new man? Huh? Then, which of your spirits, if you want to call it that, I'm not talking two souls now, I'm just saying, if the old man has died, the new man is coming into preeminence, then which spirit is your spirit? What would you want your own spirit for? You see? So it's His spirit bearing witness with our spirit. Then if we are to bear witness with His spirit, all we're saying is yes, 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 Abba Father. Abba Father, I identify. I can of my own self do nothing. What I, your Son, seeth you, Father, do, that I do likewise. What I hear you say in your word, that's what I say likewise. And that brings you peace, a peace that surpasses all understanding. Because it's no longer you. You realize you're totally in the hands of Almighty God. He's doing it. He's saying it. He's thinking it. And He's using you to do it. And you surrendered yourself. 1 Corinthians 14 and verse 20. Paul says, brethren, be not children in understanding. In malice or wickedness, be you children. But in understanding, be you men. Every man applying those scriptural marks to himself may know whether he is a child of God or not. Thus, if we know first as many as are led by the Spirit of God into all holy tempers and actions, these are the sons of God. Secondly, I am thus led by the Spirit of God, then we can easily conclude, therefore I am a son of God. Hereby we know that we do know Him. How? What did Jesus say? If we what? If we keep His commandments. Whosoever keepeth His word, in him verily is the love of God perfected. Hereby know that we are in Him, that we are indeed the children of God. If you know that He is righteous, you know that everyone that doeth righteousness is born of Him. We know that we have passed from death unto life because we love the brethren. Hereby we know that we are of the truth, and shall assure our hearts before Him, namely because we love one another, not in word, in deed, and in truth. Hereby know that we dwell in Him, because He hath given us of His loving Spirit. And hereby we know that He abideth in us by the obedient Spirit which He hath given us. Hereby we know that we are truly sons of God, because we have obedient to the Word, obedient to the leading of the Holy Spirit, are the children of God. But we also have these other marks. We can use our own rational ability and say, well, we do this, therefore we are. But Jesus said, not I do this, and therefore I am, but I can of mine own self do nothing. I am only acting out what the Father has shown me to do, to say. I don't have my own doctrine. It's His doctrine. I don't have my own words, it's His words. I don't have my own actions, I just do what I see Him doing. Well, what then are the marks of a true Son of God? This is the question which still remains. How does it appear that we do love God and our neighbor, and that we keep His commandments? Observe that the meaning of the question is, how does it appear to ourselves, not to others? There's your key. Observe that the meaning of the question is, how does it appear to ourselves? Now, Abraham Lincoln said, you can fool some of the people some of the time, but you can't fool all the people all the time. Had a fellow come into the office last week. The minute he started talking, he reminded me of a certain preacher I know. Talked just like him. And so immediately, the discernment went up. And I said, listen carefully to what he says. The guy was a very smooth southern talker. Real smooth. Came in and said how he could reduce the cost of our practices by 30%. 30%. Showed us one of the practices that he had gone to already, where he had reduced their cost, their annual cost, by $23,000. When I began to look over his list of items, I saw two of them that made up about $15,000 of the $23,000. Just two items. When I looked at the cost of what he said he could get these things for, I challenged him on it. He assured me that they had this national contract, they could do it. After he left, I played along a while with him. After he left, I contacted the national people, and they said, absolutely not, unless they're selling old product that's outdated and therefore illegal. Smooth talkers, and yet they come in like serpent did to Eve, and he just smooth talked that girl right into sin, right into adultery. And Paul said, I'm afraid lest the serpent beguile you as he did to Eve, that you won't be a chaste virgin. Now, how does it appear to ourselves? Not how does it appear to others. How am I appearing to others? The whole world is full of people that stand in front of the mirror, you know. Make sure that they appear to others real, you know, whatever they want to show. And that's the world. But this scripture says, look, I don't care how you appear to others. How are you appearing to yourself? You know if you're a hypocrite or not. You know if you're walking in the truth or not.
How does it appear to you? That you are alive? And that you are now in ease and not in pain? Are you not immediately conscious of it? Look, when I smack my thumb with a hammer, I get the evidence to show it. Not a nail-scarred hand, but a hammer-scarred hand. I was very aware that I was alive. And I was very aware that I was in pain. And you know, in yourself, you are very conscious when you've done wrong and when you've done right. So how does it appear that we have these marks? Lord, Lord, haven't I said this in your name? Haven't I done this in your name? And he says, depart from me, you never did do it. Wait a minute, Lord, when didn't I not do it? He said, when you fail to do it to the least of these, my brethren. Not your brethren, my brethren. They were very conscious of what they did do and very willfully forgetful of what they should have done. So this is the question which still remains. How does it appear that we do love God and our neighbor and that we keep His commandments? Observe that the meaning of the question is, how does it appear to ourselves, not to others? I would ask him then, that proposes this question, how does it appear to you that you are alive? And that you now, are you now in ease or are you in pain? Are you not immediately conscious of it? By the same immediate consciousness, you will know if your soul is alive to God, if you are saved from the pain of proud wrath. And have the ease of a meek and quiet spirit. By the same means, you cannot but perceive if you love, rejoice, and delight in God. Remember, we went over the Wednesday nights, we've gone over the attributes of a son of God. They love the Word. They joy in the Word. They come to the light. The attributes of the non-elect, they flee the light. They don't love the Word. They don't love His appearing. And you know, that's why the one guy, he can hear the sermon and say, well, Brother Branham, the whole time I read that thing, I'm just so mad because he just kept calling me the buzzard. And the other guy says, oh, but he called you an eagle. One hears buzzard, the other hears eagle. It's like when I preach White Throne. One hears that you're all doomed. You're all going to hell. The other one hears, hey, I'm not going to have to stand before the white throne. I'm saved. My heart's full of joy because I know that I'm walking in the light now. I'm confessing my faults daily. I'm measuring up to the Word daily. What more is there a judgment for? I'm judging myself now. How can I be judged a second time? You can't be judged a second time. Therefore, you don't enter into the second judgment or the condemnation. Now, that ought to make your hearts glad, you see. Now, okay, by the same, you must be directly assured if you love your neighbor as yourself. If you are kindly affectionate to all mankind and full of gentleness and long-suffering, and with regard to the outward mark of the children of God, which is according to St. John, the keeping of His commandments, you undoubtedly know it in your own breast. If by the grace of God, it belongs to you. Your conscience informs you from day to day. And if you do not take the name of God within your lips, unless with seriousness and devotion, with reverence and with godly fear, if you remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy, if you honor your father and your mother, if you do to all as you would have them do to you, if you possess your body in sanctification and honor, and if whether you eat or drink, you are temperate therein, and do all to the glory of God, you know it. You know it if you're a glutton. You know it if you're eating temperately. You know it if you speak harshly in a way to cause or to inflict pain. And you know what motives are behind it. Now Jesus walked into the temple, took out a whip, and He purposely caused affliction and pain. Now, do you think His end product was only to bring pain and inflict injury on those people?
I don't think so. I think because he so loved the Father and was so doing the will of the Father, and he said, I don't do anything anyway. So what I was doing when I went into that temple, the Father told me to do it. Now, it grieved me to have to do it, but on the other hand, I knew the purpose of my Father, to clean house. So he picked up the braided rope and went to work. Now, many times people hear you say something. You could be quoting Brother Branham. You could be quoting the Scripture. They will get offended. They will walk and say, "Boo! You know, that person's, I don't like that person." On the other hand, do they know your motive? You see, you know your motive. I know my motive. Wayne Branham knew his motive. Lee Vale knows his motive. You all know your motive. Is your motive the Father's motive? Is your motive the Father's will? Or is it your own will? You see what I'm talking about? The same thing done is always going to be taken two different ways. You could say, I love you. And as you said, I remember going over this years ago. You say, you know, well, I love you, honey. And she could say, oh, that was cold, the way you said that. Or you could say, you know, I really love you, honey. And she could say, well, that's a little warmer. And you know, I could say it in a few more ways to finally get to where maybe it's supposed to, you know, that would have the right effect. But what I'm saying is, it's not the words. It's what's, you know, it's the motivation behind it. Let's put it that way. It's the will behind it. Now, is it your spirit or is it his spirit? Because we're talking about Romans 8:16. The spirit bears witness with our spirit. It has nothing to do with your spirit bearing witness with his spirit. His spirit bears witness with your spirit that you are his son. Now, your spirit could bear witness with his spirit and say, I am his son. And then there's a check mark. Jesus says, oh, no, you're not. You're of your father, the devil. Now, you can bear witness as much as you want that you're Abraham's seed, that you're Abel, or that you're Adam's seed. You see? But there's scripture to show that your spirit, your witness, can be contradicted. So what we have to do? We have to chuck it. Just throw out your will. Throw out your spirit. Throw out your feelings. And allow his spirit to bear witness. Now, his spirit will bear witness and say, okay, now I am witnessing. The comforter is here. He's witnessing. He's hearing. He's seeing. He's hearing. He knows because he can sense in the inner self, the motive, everything else, because he's a discerner of thoughts and intents of the heart. Okay, his presence is there. He's observing. And now his testimony is saying, okay, now what he's doing is the Father is bearing witness in him. Because his actions, his words, his doctrine are not his own. He's thrown them aside. That proves that you're a son, because only a son can do that. Or daughter. But if you know what I'm talking about, okay. Your conscience informs you from day to day. And if you do not take the name of God within your lips, unless with seriousness and devotion, with reverence and godly fear, you know it. Didn't Paul say in Romans 9, my conscience bearing witness with the Holy Ghost? Let's go to it. Romans chapter 9. I'll just take a few more scriptures and we'll close. All right, beginning at verse 1. I say the truth in Christ. I lie not. My conscience also bearing me witness in the Holy Ghost, that I have great heaviness and continual sorrow in my heart. For I could wish that myself were accursed from Christ for my brethren, my kinsmen according to the flesh, who are Israelites, to whom pertaineth the adoption and the glory and the covenants and the giving of the law and the service of God and the promises. Whose are the fathers? Notice, whose are the fathers? And of whom, as concerning the flesh, Christ came, who is over all God blessed forever. Amen. Not as though the word of God hath taken none effect. For they are not all Israel which are of Israel. Neither, because they are the seed of Abraham, are they all children, but in Isaac shall thy seed be called. That is,
they which are the children of the flesh, these are not the children of God, but the children of the promise are counted for the seed. For this is the word of promise, at this time will I come, and Sarah shall have a son. And not only this, but when Rebekah also had conceived by one, even by our father Isaac, for the children being not yet born, neither having done good or evil, that the purpose of God according to election might stand, not of works, but of him that calleth. It was said unto her, the elder shall serve the younger. As it is written, Jacob have I loved, but Esau have I hated. What shall we then say? Is there unrighteousness with God? God forbid. For he saith to Moses, I will have mercy on whom I will have mercy, and I will have compassion on whom I will have compassion. Now we're talking about this, his spirit bearing witness with your spirit. See? Let's turn to Hebrews chapter 10, verse 2. And, okay, we shall read. For then would they not have ceased to be offered, because that the worshipper once purged should have no more conscience of sins. But in those sacrifices there is a remembrance again made of sins every year. Now, notice he's saying the conscience has got to be purged. Remember, Paul says, my conscience bears witness in the Holy Ghost. Now, who's the Holy Ghost? He's the Word. Right? My conscience bears witness in the Word. Now, here he says, you know, there was a time that they had sacrifices every year, but the conscience had to be, it still didn't do anything, because every year your conscience, you still had the same sins, you still had the same remorse for your sins, you went through the whole rigmarole time and time and time again. But remember, he that's born of God does not commit sin. He doesn't initiate. He doesn't take pleasure in it. He doesn't brag about it. You see? Because he hasn't been given permission to do it. Therefore, he knows he's wrong. He confesses, and he's cleansed. He's walking in the light. Now, notice verse 22. Okay? Let us draw near with a true heart, in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience, and our bodies washed with pure water. In other words, the washing of water by the Word. So your conscience then is purged. Now, if my conscience is purged, then I don't have a conscience, do I? Unless I have someone else's conscience. And whose conscience is that? The Holy Spirit. Whose will is that? The Holy Spirit. Let this mind be in you. Let this attitude be in you, which was in Christ. You see what God is trying to do? You see what God is trying to get the bride to? Forget it all. Let go and let God. Completely be willing to get rid of your will. That the will of God would take over. Okay, let's look at 1 Peter chapter 3. And then I think we'll close and we'll pick up tomorrow. I'd rather take bits and pieces so we don't wear you out. And let's look at verse 15 to 16. But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts. That's your understanding. And be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is within you with meekness and fear. Having a good conscience, that whereas they speak evil of you as of evildoers, they may be ashamed that falsely accuse you, your good conversation in Christ. For it is better, if the will of God be so, that you suffer for well-doing than for evil-doing. Now, let's just bow our heads in prayer. Dear gracious Father, we recognize, Lord, that we're coming to the place where we absolutely, Father, have no desire to hold on to our own will. Our own conscience, Lord, may it be purged once and for all. And may we, Father, have your conscience and have your will in our life. To where, as Paul said, my conscience bears me record in the Word. And may our conscience bear record in the Word. As Brother Branham said to Brother Vail before he went off the scene, he said, all my thoughts are of God. And Father, we earnestly contend for the faith. We earnestly strive, Lord, for that which can't be striven for. And I pray, Father, you just help us just to get to the place, just to let go and take over, Lord. For we ask it humbly in Jesus' name.
There's a lot here, brother, sister. Because I believe that we are on the threshold of being able to get ourselves out of the way. And when you can get yourself out of the way, you no longer get hurt. No one can hurt you. Sticks and stones break your bones. Names,
cannot harm you. You get to the place where it's either God or it's not God. It's either my Father's will or it's not my Father's will. It doesn't matter if my wife doesn't like it. Does God like it? It doesn't matter if my husband doesn't like it. Does God like it? Am I pleasing to the Father? I don't care if I'm pleasing to my children. Am I pleasing to the Father? Is it what God wants? You see. Is it not what my mother says? Well, absolutely not. Who is my mother? Jesus said. Who is my brother? They that do the will of my Father. You see? Who are my brothers? Who are my sisters? What did you say? They that do the... Let's say it again. They that do the will of my Father which is in heaven. Now, we're talking about an election. Seed of God. Only the seed of God can do the will of the Father. Only the seed of God can just let their own thinking go. Let their own will go. Doesn't matter to me anymore. Only what matters is what God wants. They that do the will of my Father are who? My brothers and my sisters, my family. And we're coming to a collective family understanding. The Father has a will, and we all walk in accordance with the Father's will. You see where we're coming to? I believe Brother Barron said that the bride has got to come to this before she can go home. He said the bride has got to come to the place where she recognizes who she is before she can go home.